Praise the Lord. So last time, talking about this inheritance, there was something that I mentioned. That is the fact that when God gives us anything, the only way we know that he has given is that he says that he has given. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's important we understand that. That the only way you know what God has given is what he has said that he has given. There is no other way by which you know what is yours in Christ Jesus except by the words that he has given. I think it's very important we understand this. That is the reason why God himself ensured that everything is documented in the scriptures. When I say everything, everything you need to know about the inheritance of God in you is documented in the scriptures. It's important we understand this because you see, like I explained a bit last time, I said that the way by which people make decisions, that is, if they want to know what they have, usually you have, okay, I mean, in the legal system, you have a deed to a land or a house. That shows that that house is yours. You follow my point. Now, let's assume you live in the U.S. and you wanted to buy a house in your village, so you sent me money, and then I buy the house, and I tell you that I have bought the house. The only way you know you really have the house there is that I said that I have bought the house. Forget the deed that I sent to you. I could have forged it. You understand my point? I could take a photograph of your father's neighbor and send it as this is the house that I bought for you. But then if I'm a trustworthy person to you, the only way you know that you have a house in that place is that I said I have already bought the house and it was bought in your name and it's waiting for you. And that's the way it is with the Lord. And when he's dealing with us, the Bible says clearly that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Again, let me explain what heavenly places mean. It does not mean that you will get those blessings when you might have died. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, if you read Ephesians chapter 1, it says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It doesn't mean that it's when you will have died that you will not encounter the blessings. When the Bible uses the word heavenly places like that, it just means that it is not within the physical realm. It means that the blessings are incorruptible. It means that nothing physical can touch that blessing. That's just what he's trying to say when he explains that those blessings are in the heavenly places. It means that you cannot do anything to undermine the blessing. Do you get my point? If there is an earthquake on the earth, it does not change the fact that the blessings are there. You follow what I'm trying to say? If you put your money in a bank in Enugu, and that's the only branch of the bank, all right? And then one day, there's an earthquake and the bank sinks. That's it. Your money just sank with that bank. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. That's just a fact. But then, once your things are in the heavenly places, that's why Jesus will tell you to lay up treasure in heaven. It does not mean that put up your goods there so that when you die, you will meet it. No. There's nothing God is doing with the goods you keep ahead. You can't eat the food that you're supposed to eat on earth. You send it to heaven and eat it. No, what it just means is that you should plant your security where moth cannot destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Do you follow me? We have to understand this, that the Bible says it clearly, that physical things were made out of spiritual things. By faith, we understand this. As a child of God, we need to know that the physical things you are seeing are not a product of physical things that happened before them, but that the Bible says that the words were framed by the word of God. Look, I was teaching on Wednesday in church, and I explained something. That you see, there are no accidents on the earth. No accidents. If I start telling you stories, you will understand that there's nothing like an accident. The man knew he should not have traveled. Maybe he would not have died. That is not so. He traveled and died that day because it was appointed unto him to die that day. Do you get what I'm trying to say? When you hear that, look, maybe 50 people were inside a vehicle and he had an accident and 49 died and one survived. The reason was because there was a mark placed upon that person that ensured that he wouldn't die with other people at that point in time. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That's why if you go and study, I think it's Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah saw a vision and God told an angel, go through the land and mark all those who sigh and groan because of the iniquity that is in the land. Now, he was telling him that after the people have been marked, then God will now send the spirit of destruction, the angel of death, into the land to begin to destroy. And that angel will skip everybody that his face has been marked. Now, the point I'm making is that in the physical realm, when you are going to observe it, what you will notice is that a plague will come into the land and people will begin to die. And you will think it's just an accident. No, before it began to happen in the realm of the physical. Spiritually, those that will die from that plague had been determined, and those that the plague will not touch had been determined. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. So that when Jesus is saying that you should lay up your treasures in the heavenly places, what he's saying is this. If you lay up treasure for yourself in heaven, anytime you need resources, nothing can change your bank account with God. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, if a man will understand how it is that people lay up their treasures in heaven, it doesn't mean that he will be saving his money for the time that he will die, that when he gets to heaven, he will be a millionaire in heaven. There is nothing like that. What it just means is that, look, you know the way physical people do things. You are planning for your future. You save up money. You buy shares. You do things like that. You start a business because you believe that this will guarantee a brilliant future for you. And Jesus is saying that you are making a mistake because thieves can break into your business and destroy it in one day. Do you understand my point? That thieves can break in and all the investment that you had in that place will disappear. Fire can catch. You understand? And then you burn everything that you have put your money in. But he said that if you lay up treasure in heaven, even if there is a city-wide fire, your treasure is in heaven. As soon as the fire finishes, God will send forth resources in your direction. You will discover that you will come out of that situation on top. Why? Because your savings were in heaven. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. So when the Bible is talking about the fact that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, that's what he's saying, in heavenly places. That is, everything that God has planned for you, it's up there. It is not down here, but it will manifest. That's the point I want you to understand. As often as you need it, in whatever dimension that you need it, in the physical. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So when we're talking about this inheritance, that is what it means. It means that it is not determined by the kind of place you have come from. It is not determined by the kind of things that's happening around you. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is, these things are in the heavenlies. It is not, look, in the heavenlies, the president of your country does not rule. Do you understand me? The economy of your country does not rule. But in the heavenlies, there is this inheritance, which when it comes down to the earth, it will manifest in proportion to what you need at that point in time. Let me explain what I'm saying. Now, let us assume that everything we buy in Nigeria comes from the United States. And then they tell you now that, okay, now maybe you want to go out and buy bread. And bread that was 10 naira yesterday, suddenly it's 100 naira yesterday because the price of dollar changed overnight. Okay? Now, what difference will it make if you were earning your money in dollars? It wouldn't make any difference because the price of you are earning in the currency in which the bread is being produced. Now, for those who are earning naira, they begin to groan and to complain because the value of what they have has just dropped. A man that could buy 10 loaves can now only buy one loaf. That is the way it is in the spiritual. That is, if God has kept a blessing for you in the heavenly, saying that, look, let me give a practical example. You are going to live to the age of 101. If everybody in your place begins to die from plague, it does not change the fact that your inheritance, which was kept in the heavens, has said that you will live to the age of 101. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. That is, that inheritance is not touched by the things that are around you, by the things that are going around. It is not touched by, it doesn't change the fact that, the fact of the inheritance is not changed by your physical circumstances. Let me give another, these things that we can relate with. If God said, look, I've appointed for you to have a house that has 50 rooms because you are going to have a very large family. And then you will now live in a country that the economy is depressed beyond depression. Do you get my point? At the end of the day, in the midst of the depth of depression, you will have a house that has 50 rooms. And they will be good rooms, depending on what God has described as your inheritance. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. Which means, therefore, that it doesn't make any difference whether you live in the U.S. If the 50-room house in the U.S. is going to cost you $2 million, and you live there, God will give you $2 million to acquire it. But if you do not live there, and maybe you live in United Arab Emirates, and there it costs about $7.5 million, instead of God giving you $2 million, what will he do? He will orchestrate events to bring forth 7.5 to you. But if you came to Nigeria and said that you will complete that house with an equivalent of maybe $1.5 million, no problem. When God wants to manifest that inheritance, in the place you are living, he will cause events to orchestrate the exact amount you need to bring to birth your inheritance on the earth. That is the meaning of what the Bible says when it says that your blessings are stored in the heavenlies. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? That it is not described by any other thing than the word of God. And it is not changed by any other thing apart from God's word. That is, nothing else can change it. Anything that is not described in your inheritance cannot change it. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, if I tell you now, let me go to my house. I forgot, I need maybe a key. I kept it in my house. You don't live there. I'm the one that lives there. I will tell you where the key is. No matter who it is you meet on the road, doesn't matter what the person will tell you. The mistake you will make is to follow the words of the person you met on the road who does not live in my house to describe to you where the key I want to go and help it, I want you to go and collect for me is. I am the one that knows where I kept the key. So I have given you a description of where the key is. You should follow my order. Do you understand? Because anybody else that tells you any other thing along the way has just misled you. Maybe I tell you that, look, go, you will find the key under the toilet seat. And then you go on the road, you meet a friend, he says, ah, where are you going? Ah, bank is actually helping collect the key from his house. Where is it? Not the toilet seat. Let me tell you what. Nobody keeps keys under the toilet seat. Keys are under on the dining table, or on top of the TV, or on top of the fridge, and the person finishes describing. At the end of the day, they say, ah, that is true. You are making a lot of sense. So you get to my house, you go to my TV, you check on top, you don't find the key. You will go to the top of the fridge, you check. You go to the dining table, you check. You go to the center table in the sitting room, after you have gone round and round and round, you will not come back and meet me that I didn't find the key. And I tell you, I am sure, actually, I hid it there so that nobody else will find it until I tell them where it is. He said, but I checked everywhere. I didn't tell you to check everywhere. I said, check one place. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. That is, if I describe something to you and I'm the one that kept it, nobody else's words can change the place where that thing is. That is the way it is with God. If God has described your inheritance, nobody else on earth, no circumstance on earth can change what God has described as your inheritance. Let me tell you what. The thing about spiritual things is that there is a technique for downloading them onto the earth. And that word is very simple. It's called faith. If God tells you something, if you don't walk according to what he has said, you will never see the manifestation of what he said. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. So, you see, this is why it is important. We get a hold of God's description for our inheritance. When God has described it, what we do is follow what he has said to the letter. As much as we understand it, we follow it perfectly. Because it is only his description that can take you to the place of your inheritance. But what do? Most of us follow the description of our society. This description of our economy. I mean, let me tell you something very practical. If God placed a gift in you, let me just look for something that's not very popular in Nigeria. Like maybe, let's say you're an artist, you should be painting, you know, artist, drawing. Okay, and then you are in school. But you see, because you are an artist does not mean you will not know science. You understand what I'm trying to say? It doesn't mean you won't know social sciences. It does not mean you won't know art. It depends on how you are trained as a child. That is why you find out people who God, especially in a country like Nigeria, a lot of people that God called to be ministers and medical doctors. God has planted in him a system for ministry. Yet, he doesn't remove his intelligence from studying medicine. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So maybe you are somebody who your parents taught very well while you are in school. Okay, go ahead. You are in school, you are learning, and you are good in every course. So when it's time to go to university, of course, people start describing, look, let me tell you, this is where people make it. Oh, you are either an engineer, a lawyer, or you're a doctor, you're an architect. They start thinking about studying a professional course. You know what we call professional course? Nonsense. Those things don't have meaning. Now, if you understand how God is moving, you know there is nothing professional about. Look, I don't know whether Bill Gates is a professional or not. The guy is the richest man on this earth today. Do you get my point? What was he studying? Whether it was professional or not makes no difference. The guy came out and pursued something, and the thing birthed something that is overcoming everybody else. I hope you understand what the point I'm trying to make. And that is what is important that we understand. That you see, people would therefore try to describe and your life for you based on their expectations and based on the surroundings. You know, these days, you know, my wife was telling me a story a few days ago. She went and bought a football for Akinolu. That's my little boy. So he can be playing ball. So he says, a man there said that, are you trying to turn him to Okocha? And it became a joke. All right? He said, so they can go and play and bring plenty of money. No, that is the thing now. When I was in when I was in secondary school, primary school, nobody talked that kind of thing. I mean, play football. Football is just a game, and then if you are dull, you can't go to school. You can make a life out of it. Do you get my point? All your professional footballers, how many of them acquired a degree before they went into professional football? None. If they had been able to acquire degrees, they would not have done professional football. But the other day, I heard one of my classmates in university. I heard about him. Now, get my point? The guy, when I say my classmate, I studied medicine, so he was my classmate. You understand my point? I don't mean that he was another branch of science. Okay? Yeah, I said, how is this guy? He said he's in England. What is he doing? He's a goalkeeper. You know? It was alarming to me that the guy is a goalkeeper. It's not easy. Why? Because events at this point have shown that you can be a goalkeeper and be richer than all the professors that taught you medicine in school. So you see, human beings tend to describe their future by events that are happening around. And that's why God keeps warning that eyes have not yet seen. That is, nobody can describe for you what I am going to bring out of you. Nobody. I hope you get the point I'm trying to make. That is why every time I say it, you must go to God for a description of his inheritance. Only God can do it. All right? And in the course of money, of course, we don't have all the time to say everything today. But we have said it again and again. There are hindrances that come up on this earth, even among children of God, that prevent them from seeing what God wants them to see. There is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If we use other words to talk about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, there is what is called covetousness. There is what is called the lust of men. That is, people are trying to please men rather than please God. Those things are the reason why you will never be able to contact the description, perfect description of God for what your life is supposed to be like. But what I want to, that's not actually my main thrust for today. My main thrust in what I'm saying this evening is the fact that whatever God has described as your inheritance cannot be changed by what is happening on the earth. But if you will go for that thing and hold on to that inheritance, the things that are happening on the earth will be forced to cooperate with what God wants to bring out of you. Do you understand me? That is, it is God's word first before the physical things. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of things that were visible. That is, there is no way of predicting what will be tomorrow accurately except God reveals it. And anytime God's word comes down, it changes what we thought was going to be the accurate outcome. That is, if I predicted that by this time tomorrow, this thing should be taking place in Enugu, maybe I noticed that, okay, the clouds are gathering, it's about to start raining, and I say, okay, tomorrow the whole of Enugu will be wet. And God's word comes at midnight and says, no, it will be dry for the next 2 years. That means no rain will fall on this land. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, the events that are coming about are being shaped by the word of God, not by the physical things that I saw beforehand. Do you get my point? That is, I cannot tell where you are going to be in 15 years' time because I cannot describe it according to what is happening now. I cannot tell you accurately that, okay, maybe in 20 years you'll be a senior advocate of Nigeria. How do I know? No matter how much you study, no matter how much you practice, maybe somewhere along the line God just said, okay, enough of that. Look, I'm going to make you MD of a bank. I don't know. That is what is meant by faith. We understand that the words were framed by the word of God so that the things that we see are not products of the things that were visible before they came to pass. Do you follow? That is, the word of God is first. That is why a man has to know, a woman has to know how to declare God's word. Because the commandment of creation is that physical things must conform to the order of God. You know, one of my favorite examples I like to give is always about the case of Jeremiah. After Jeremiah had prophesied, he now gave the prophecies, wrote them in the book, and gave them to his secretary, Sariah. He said, when you get down to Babylon, see that you read these things over Babylon, and when you finish, you will throw the scroll into the water and say, falling is Babylon. You know, he told him some things to do, meaning that if we observe Babylon by the strength that was in them, there is no reason to believe that overnight they will be overtaken. Do you get my point? But the word of God came forth, and that word was read over Babylon, and it came to pass exactly as God described, not minding the strength of Babylon, before the coming of the Medes and the Persians. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, I was studying during the week, and I realized that, look, you see, when Elisha spoke to Jehoash and told him about things that will happen, at that point, the Syrians were overrunning the Israelites the way they liked. But he told him that in accordance to the fact that you hit this arrow on the ground 3 times, you will defeat the Syrians 3 times. And 3 times they defeated the Syrians. And the prophet was angry with him that, look, you should have continued to hit the arrow on the ground until you will have defeated them enough to consume them. But because you did it 3 times, it shows to me, it was supposed to be revelation to the prophet. It wasn't like the man could determine. God had shown it. So the only way the prophet will know is how many times this guy is going to hit it. Do you understand what I'm saying? By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. We know that when Moses raised up his hands, the battle went in the favor of the Israelites. And the moment he dropped it, the battle went the other way around. You know, I was studying the prince during the week. And he showed me one scripture that I'm sure I've read it before, but it never struck me. That throughout the battle in Ai, they went to Ai twice. First they were defeated because somebody took some condemned things into his tent. Then they went back a second time and they defeated Ai. I never knew that throughout the battle in Ai, the spear of Joshua was pointed to that city. He didn't fight. He didn't command. He didn't do anything. He just stood and pointed his spear towards that city. And when they finished consuming Ai, he dropped his hand. It was what I was saying in the reference during the week that I said, God, this is... I told my wife, I have to read my Bible. This ignorance is too much. That this thing is in the Bible. I never noticed it. That this man's hands... Go and read the Joshua chapter 8. His hand was up throughout the battle in Ai. What I'm saying is that the words are framed by the word of God so that the things that are seen are not products of the physical explanations people have for it. That is, the victory of Israel over Ai was not based on military strategies. Any effective military strategy you saw came as a consequence of the fact that God had given them Ai. That is, if God removes victory from your hands, no matter the counsel you hear, you will still lose the battle. Do you get my point? That when God said, look, Absalom will not be king, Ahithophel, which the scriptures testify that when you ask counsel of the mouth of Ahithophel, it is as if you have asked the Lord. That was the depth of wisdom that God gave him. Yet he presented his wisdom to Absalom. But God had made the eyes of Absalom foolish. He couldn't obey it. Are you getting my point? That this victory is of the Lord. If God has described your inheritance, physical things can't stop it. Let me tell you something. During the week, I believe God really stirred me up on some things. I realized that until you and I start praying, Nigeria is not going anywhere. And that reminded me of a plan I had about 2 years ago concerning this ministry. I said, one of the things I'll do apart from teaching is to organize a prayer for the nation. This week when I was studying and I was listening to Derek Prince, suddenly I got stirred up again. That for goodness sake, we are not going anywhere until people begin to speak God's word, to cause physical things to become agreed with what God wants to do. But what do we hear Christians say? Every time two of them gather, this country is stupid. Obasanjo is a fool. The senators are crooks. They speak, and God says, amen. Be it unto you according to your faith. Are you getting the point I'm making? Then it dawned on me, because you see, the reference wrote a book. I have the book. You know, that's the funny thing. Ah, God, I have to repent. I had not read it until I listened to his tape. I said, I'm going to read the book. That's Shaping World Events Through Prayer. Look, listen. I had learned some things, but when a man began to speak, let me tell you, when I'm listening to people like Derek Prince, Kenneth Hagin, Lester Sumra, all those old men, the things they are teaching, usually I don't hear it. Is a little gist they give you, born out of the experience of working with God for decades. That's what I catch. Take someone like Kenneth Hagin. The words he preaches are so basic and fundamental that even when I'm trying to listen, I can't hear it. Like somebody say, go to class now, learn 2 plus 2. Do you get my point? No matter the explanation you give, count stick, I won't follow you because 2 + 2 is already part of my fingers. I don't have to think about it. Yet, every time this man is speaking, I pay attention. Why? Because he will tell a story and you will know how God works. You will understand what the Bible says about Moses, that Moses understood the ways of God. Those men understand God's ways. Do you follow what I'm going to say? They do. Now, when this man was speaking, I just realized, I said, look, God, thanks for stirring me up again. Because these are things that, you know, you have the theory in your mind and down somewhere. You are not using them. But then, it's as if through that those words, God was stirring me up again. But let me just leave that aside and come to the focus of what I'm saying today. That physical things don't determine what God wants to do. Listen, the words were framed by the word of God. That is, if nothing is going according to due order, it is because nobody is pronouncing it. Listen, there's a principle that was vital that it was obeyed. When Jeremiah spoke to Sarah, make sure you read this thing over Babylon. People don't read counsel over Nigeria. Most people don't. What do? They gather and pray for their own breakthrough. When God has decreed that I can't bless you so much in a land that is not blessed. That is, you have to pray for the land to be blessed because it is in the prosperity of that land that you will prosper. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is, if I plant you in Sahara Desert, you must pray that Sahara Desert will begin to germinate. That rain will come there. Otherwise, if I give you pure gold, you will use it to buy sand. Are you getting the point I'm making? No, but you know what we do? We sit down. Chimaroke is useless. All the senators are idiots. The House of Reps are riggers. We come morning and afternoon and night and pronounce judgment upon them. When God said, judge not that you may not be judged. The only thing you are allowed to do, Bible says, is to pronounce the judgment that is written. Read Psalm 149. But we don't do that. Criticisms. And then we now queue up in embassies. That if I don't travel, I'm dead. Now, look, you see, you've heard me speak again and again about Nigeria. But one thing I want you to understand, I have always said it is not because my eyes are closed and I cannot see that some things are not right. Or that it is not a fact that the societies in those Western countries are better, physically speaking, than ours. No, but I speak based upon the knowledge of one fact, that the words were framed by the word of God. And that if I speak God's word upon the place where I stand, the word of God will turn the things happening there to agree with what God is saying. I hope you are following what I'm saying. That is, God has spoken something about you. It is not, look, listen. It doesn't matter if they tell you inherited an autosomal dominant gene from somewhere. You will die at the age of 40. God has said, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. His words are not changed by the karyotype of your genes. It doesn't make any difference. That is what it means when they say blessings are stored in the spiritual places, in the heavenly places. That's what it meant. That no matter what it is, that your history, it's a physical thing. And the words were framed by God's word. What will become out of your life cannot be traced to where you're coming from. The only thing that can describe it is what God has said. Am I communicating with somebody this evening? It's important we understand this. God is not controlled by what I can see. He is not controlled by it. When he was going to take the children of Israel out, there was a shorter way to the promised land. You know that? Which had no Red Sea. But he had wars. He didn't like the wars. He didn't want them to see war and turn back. So he said, okay, go by the way of the Red Sea. He knowing, that's the interesting thing, that the Red Sea was there. But to him, the words are framed by the word of God. Where they will get to is decided by what he says. Not by whether there are hills in the place or there are seas on the way. Let me tell you something. I'm saying this as a fact. It's just that geography will never use it as an explanation. The hills were rearranging themselves as the Israelites were coming. It's in the Bible. He said, what ails thee, O mountain, that thou fleest? That is, why is the mountain running? Look, you know, we read the scripture, we don't understand. He said the earth was trembling before the presence of the Lord, who was coming with the children of Israel. That if they are going this way, if God said move northward, they don't turn to the left or to the right. If there is a hill on the way, it moves because these guys are coming. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, there is nothing on this earth that can frustrate God's counsel for your life if you follow it. Principalities and powers, they will shift because you are coming. You have to understand the point I am making. The problem we have had as a church is because we have lived like the world. That's the meaning of the word carnality, not the length of your skirt or the color of your mouth. I have seen very holy looking people that feared poverty. Look, they loved money. All they want is, look, outside they are very holy and righteous. But fear of tomorrow, fear of poverty, that is what is running them helter-skelter. That's why people can't get anywhere. One day a man came to preach. I was attending a program in Lagos. I almost got up and walked out. In fact, I told my friend, let us go. This guy has nothing to say. Because all these others saying, how many Christians are like can speak out like an if I were you mean? And they were just talking. I said, this guy calls himself a minister. Who called him to this place? I told my friend Femo, let's go. Femo just relax. Let him just finish talking the crap in his mouth. Then we can go. Just give him some cuts. He's a senior fellow. Because all he was, look, when the guy was, I said, this is gospel this guy is preaching. Because he ran one small clinic and made small money. Poverty man. He was wearing one cheap suit. I was looking at his suit. Look, I can see the edges of the suit being pulled up by the lining. I said, this guy, and he's talking that he has money. He didn't preach anything. And in my mind, this is how Christians live. And they never see the power of God. And they keep on complaining about why the nation is not going forward. And it's not going to the left, it's not going to the right. Forgetting that leaders are appointed by God to reflect the kind of people that are in the place. God said, when I want to oppress them, I give them a hard leader. When I want to punish the Egyptian, you know what he said? I will turn the heart of the Egyptian against his brother. Talk about tribal conflict. They say it's because of leadership. It's not. Read the scriptures well. It is not. Look, let me keep on saying this to you. The words were framed by the word of God. If we will start cooperating with God and speaking God's word as we want things to be around us, then we'll begin to see that they will begin to cooperate with what God is saying. The words, the Bible says, were framed by the word of God. Why do you think, look, Daniel will see a vision and tell you look, down to current day, the kind of kingdoms that will be in Europe. He would describe a kingdom, one like the head of gold. He would describe it down to the one as a mixture of clay and iron, describing their strength. He described the Roman Empire hundreds of years before they came. What does that tell you? The walls are framed by the word of God. Your life is being framed by the word of God. I said something earlier. One thing we have to understand, and understand well, is the fact that there is a technique which is called faith for downloading what God has kept in the spiritual, in the heavenly places, down to the earth around you. As long as you talk like every stupid unbeliever, your life turns out exactly like theirs. Let me tell you, God does not distinguish. He told the children of Israel, if you don't drive out these people from the midst of you, and you come to live with them, they will corrupt you with their ways, and I will do to you what I wanted to do to them. All these things, he said, they were recorded for our learning. They were recorded for our learning. And come on, we need to understand this. The reason why there is no difference is because we talk exactly without a difference. We gather together and discuss government. Look, I ban you in the name of Jesus from ever criticizing this government. Ever. Hear from my mouth, I don't even do it. Abacha, as wicked as he was reputed to be, all the days of his life, I didn't utter one word against him. God is my witness. Because the commandment to you as a child of God is simple. Pray for the government. Hey, come on. You know, what even irritates me most is when Christians begin to talk out of ignorance. That is, I'm not talking about spiritual ignorance now. Physical ignorance. They cannot even, they just sound, you know, when it comes to economy and discussion about government politics, you cannot tell the believer from the unbeliever in this country, at least as I can see. I have friends who are Christians, I have friends who are not believers, and all of us settle down and they start talking. You cannot tell the Christian from the one that is not a Christian by virtue of their conversation. You can't. What do you hear all the time? I think Obasanjo is a fool. How can he award the supervision of the Abuja Stadium to a Korean company? You know the way I do it? I just look like this. Are you serious? Oh. Why are they paying two ministers in foreign currency? Idiots. They went to hire them from a foreign country. That is the reason. What more do you need? It is unconstitutional. Show me your legal certificate, your legal degree. You don't even know the law. You are shouting what is constitutional and what is not. What is unconstitutional about? I don't have an idea. These same stupid Nigerians will pay a stupid white coach twice what they are paying these ministers. You don't know that? How much did Clemens Westerhoff earn? When you try to hire this Brazilian, how much are you going to pay him? And they gather together and tell you, look, I don't care whether it is good or bad that Okonjo-Iweala, I don't know how to pronounce that woman's name, it's really tongue-twisting, is being paid $300,000. I don't care. One thing I know, why I can't speak, is because before my eyes, you were paying the same money to people, teaching people how to kick football, and they never got to beyond the second round in World Cup. How much are you paying John Bonfrey? They pay to a finance minister, and Nigeria starts shouting. You know why? Because they have the spirit of criticism. They can't do anything well. Put the same person as local government chairman and see the crap he's going to do for you. It's a spirit of spiritual stupor that Christians are drinking from. That's the meaning of carnality. Carnality does not mean you buy a pornographic magazine at all. That is the least on the list. It's the small one. Real carnality is what we are talking about. That's what carnality is. You don't know. You want to judge events. You judge it by what the eyes can see. And look, if your talk cannot be distinguished in current day Nigeria, when you are talking amongst people on politics or in economics, and they cannot tell there is something you believe that they don't, you are carnal with capital C and a capital L. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Listen, if we continue talking like this, we won't see anything change. Oh, honestly, I'll let you know when I'm starting. Prayer for the nation. Those who are going to be with me in praying, they will make a vow and swear by Almighty God that they will never speak evil about this nation. I'll tell people, everybody that's speaking negative about Nigeria, please gather a visa and clear. Because if you don't, when good comes, you won't taste it. And I'm not cursing you, I am not lying about it. Go and read the scriptures. If God were to open the windows of heaven, can these things be? The prophet said, yes, you will see with your eyes. But as per eating it, you must be joking. That is Christianity. Not everybody queue up. What is your religion? Christians, put up your hand. What do you believe? You call yourself a believer. What do you believe? I believe that Jesus Christ died. Yes, we know. That's why Easter is coming. Everybody believes that. The issue is that how does that translate to the fine details of your life? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? This is the way it is. So you just have to make up your mind. This one, I am going with God. I am not going anywhere at all. This is the way it is. Well, now, can I get back to what I planned to preach today? Let me get back there. So I was explaining, that was where I started from, where I went along that line. That first thing is God tells you something. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He says it, and that word to him is final. The mistake he will make is looking for an explanation of why it should be or shouldn't be. An explanation that is more than what God has said. I remember once, I told then, this was long ago, my cousin's driver. The children had measles, two of them. So they called me to see them, and I, as you know, an average doctor should know that. That measles is managed what we call symptomatically, just watch the child. All right? So I just told him that, and then maybe give him a prescription of some non-specific things, you know, just to keep him happy. Then he appeared next day with a prescription that the nurse, who's their neighbor, said that he should give the children all of this. I said, what do I think? I said, go and give it to them. And I have no opinion on what she said. I said, choose you this day who you will obey. The nurse that lives next door or the doctor that gave you a prescription, period. That's how God handles it too. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to decide who knows more about my life before you start obeying somebody. That's just the way God handles it. Later I called the guy. I said, look, oh God, I'm a bit angry with you. But next time, don't insult me with that kind of request again. You go and give me... I said, oh, did she tell you that she's a doctor? I like what somebody said once, which I really like. He said, do you know why God keeps introducing himself and said, I am God and there is none else? Do you know why? He said, because many things try to play God. So he has to keep reminding you, oh boy, I am God, there is none else. Because your circumstances try to play God. Your history plays God. Your certificate plays God. Where should I go? I look at the certificate. Oh boy, this is where I should go. Your ambition plays God. Many things play God around you. So God keeps on reminding you, I am God and there is none else. And all this God does is to describe something to you. You just make up your mind. Am I following this or am I following something else? I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. And once he has done that, he said that, then you have to go out and possess the thing that he has said that he has given to you. And when you have possessed it, you have to stand on it, sit on it, live in it. Because he said, like we were reading last time from Numbers chapter 33, verse 31, from verse 51 to 53. He said, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their figure stones and destroy all their molten images and demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land and live in it, for I have given the land to you to possess it. Are you understanding that? It's Numbers chapter 33. I just read verses 51 to 53. The same thing is in Deuteronomy chapter 11. It says, for you are about to cross the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That's the first thing God gives to you. And then you shall possess it and live in it. Now, one thing I want to read, I'm reading verse 31 and Deuteronomy 11. If you read verse 32, he says, and you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the judgments which I am setting before you today. There is a reason why I wrote that down. I want us to notice something there. He told them, God, you are entering a land that God is giving you. Now, in that land that God has given to you, first assignment is to possess it. Second one is to live in it. He now gave them a qualification. All these words that I'm telling you, you must be careful to obey them. There is a reason. The reason is because that is the principle upon which you are going to enter the land, and is the principle upon which you will dwell therein. Do you get my point? To live in it is not just to build a house and stay there. That's not what God is saying. If you look at it from a spiritual perspective, what he's saying is that there is something that will guarantee you steadfastness in that land. Because God told them, he said, if you don't do what I'm telling you, what you will find out is that I will scatter you everywhere. That is, your presence in that land is not because you built a house. It's because God is pleased to establish you there. He said, when I am no longer pleased with you, I scatter you everywhere. But I'm explaining, let's look at that briefly, how you live in it. Living in it is what Moses was explaining to them here. If you read them, open to Deuteronomy chapter 4. There's something I want you to notice. In the same line, what I've been saying. He said, and now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and commandments which I am teaching you to perform, in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. He said, you shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the judgments and the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. What I want you to notice here is that he said that for them to be able to live and go in and take possession. First thing they must note is to note.